Now that we've pinpointed what the actual problem is that we're after, particularly finding the admissible items, we can start thinking about a way of guiding our pushdown automaton to finding admissible items. And one way of doing that would be analyzing the processing history by some concept that is guided by the possible productions in such a grammar. And if you think a little bit harder about it, what you could think of, for example, would be an automaton or some other construct, in our case an automaton here, that that expands from the start symbol with productions and does so in at different parts of the right-hand sides, depending on symbols that it has consumed. And these symbols should make up for the prefixes of right-hand sides that are already considered covered by the parser to have already been reached. Yeah, and what you would keep track of in that thing would be the last item that is currently active, which is considered then to be the admissible item, and you can do that in states of an automaton. Yeah. So let's have a look at what that could look like for our purposes. So the item to start with would probably be the one where there's nothing processed at all, but is leading to our start symbol S prime. So this will usually be like our start production S prime goes to E with a marker on the left-hand side. Then you can think about what other admissible items could be there without having to actually consume any pushdown symbols, which means usually what can you do in terms of expansions of the non-terminal that is currently flagged with the bullet. And there, this is E. This means usually also all the items that have as left hand side E with a marker in front of them can also be considered valid admissible items, as long as you haven't really consumed any input. For that, we can recursively have a look at, for example, this state here. What we can switch to, considering the marker in front of a non-terminal, and well, turns out that we can either jump to our own state or jump to one that we already have. Fine, that's good. So here now, in that state, in order to complete what other open item we can reach here, we have to have a look at the marker, which is in front of non-terminal T here. So all the items, open items related to T play a role here, and these are those two here. So those are also reachable without any consummation of any pushdown symbol, which means that also those would be admissible items for pushdown of no content. Yeah, and for those we also have to check marker in front of T means that we have to connect to all the T items here. Marker in front of F means we have to connect to all the open F items, which are these ones over here and there. Finally, we get to a situation where the marker is not in front of any non-terminal anymore. And with that, we have found all the possible admissible items for a stack content of nothing. Yeah. So what happens if we now start finding something on the pushdown? Well, this can be achieved by some different items here, and these are reachable then by consuming such a symbol from the pushdown. For example, here, if you find an E on the pushdown, we can consider this item here to be admissible for this stack state. And this means that we usually have reached a situation where it's feasible to reduce with as prime goes to e. Yeah. Same way, let's have a look at all the others. Where there's a marker, here is a marker with e, so this means that we can reach by consuming e an item which has the e already processed. There, all that we can do is consume another input symbol. So this would mean that we would have to consume plus. And there again, we have in this item the bullet in front of a t, which means that we can either non-deterministically jump to t like this, or read another t from the push down, which will lead to this item here, which is finally a closed item, which usually hints for that's a good idea to perform a reduction. Yeah, and same way, this t needs to be completed, so we go this way with a complete item here. Wonderful. So then there's this t here, which can lead to this item where we have pulled in front of a star, and then in this item pulled in front of an f, which leads to connecting to all the f related open items, as well as being able to consume f, reaching t goes to t times f as a closed item. And in that fashion, we complete everything else, like here with a completed item there. This is easy. Then here we have the bullet in front of a whole sequence of symbols, which leads to several states being added here, together with a few backlinks to open items. And finally, there's only one left with one closing item. So that now is an automaton that you can use to consume sequences of prefixes of right-hand sides. Those are the things that this automaton consumes. And each time that the automaton recognizes a sequence that belongs to a right-hand side, it will end up in a final state, which usually is signaling that here we have reached a reduction state, and by inspection of the content of the state, which is like this particular bit, we can even realize what the production looks like with which we want to reduce. Note that this automaton also takes into account the history of processing that has already been done. So, for example, if you can read a sequence like this E plus, then jump with one of the epsilon branches over here, and then an F. So E plus F is not really an actual right-hand side, but what you end up with is a final state that tells you that here it makes sense to reduce F with T. Yeah, and that way you can always scan the pushdown content of the shift reduce parser to get advice of whether to reduce or whether to shift. Shift you always do in situations where there's no final state. Yeah, so because the final states are the ones that signal reductions. So how do you come up with the characteristic automaton that belongs to the shift-reduce parser? Well, the states of such an automaton are, as we said, items. Yeah, so productions that are partially processed. Start state is this item that produces S from some artificial S prime with a marker on the left hand side. And final states are all the closed items. Yeah. And then it's just a matter of what to transitions there are. So we had several ones of them in there. So there were the ones that would consist of non-deterministic transitioning between certain items, which would always happen whenever a marker is in front of a non-terminal. So if that is the case, then we would do a non-deterministic jump to the open item belonging to all the productions that produce with that non-terminal. And we would just do that for every occurrence of a non-terminal in some right-hand side of the grammar. Yeah. Then the other kind of transition that we had was the one where we would actually take into account some history, some open right-hand sides that have already been processed by reading information about that. Yeah, so that's what the transition consumes. And that helps us in transitioning from an item where this particular symbol is marked to an item where the marker has surpassed that particular symbol. Yeah, so that is what we do for all the productions that are out there, focusing on any symbol that there is. We just add such a transition. Yeah, so it's that's that. And that's a very, very easy construction in that sense. So the outcoming automaton for that is what we call the so-called characteristic automaton. And for short, this is this C of G for a particular grammar G.